In actual fact, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 should be read through at one, but I'm just, for this moment in time, interested in these first four verses. Verse 1 of Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for thee, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Would you turn on with me, please, to another psalm, Psalm 63, and just the first verse there. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Then on, please, into the New Testament and John's Gospel, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Turning back to these first two psalms that we read, we read of the heart and the very being and soul of the psalm writer. Almost as it were, with the tongue of his spirit cleaving to the roof of his mouth for that quenching of satisfaction that comes when a precious soul knows God. We've also read tonight in John's Gospel that through the hard work of Calvary's cross, there was one who experienced another amazing thirst. There was that one there who was, as it were, in the blossom and the bloom of his own life, who, needing that spiritual fluid nourishment, seemed to be dried and parched out at the moment when he needed it most. I thirst. Sometimes, you know, friends, we can be one or the other. Whether we have Christ as our Saviour or not, sometimes there can come that situation in our life because of the concurrences or experiences when God isn't in central control. When the Holy Spirit isn't watering us with His precious word because we have neglected it. And it may be for some souls here tonight, young men or young women who are in the flower of their life, when maybe God may touch their souls this evening, that they may realize that they thirst and that they also hunger for a satisfaction that the world can't give. In the situation of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we find that he was a bloom, as it were, cut. Just as we were thinking of this little card that I brought with me tonight, and it was concerning these flowers that had been cut from their roots. They were in a vase, and there was only a temporary and a limited supply of water that would carry them through to help them blossom and give pleasure to the one who had nurtured them into bloom. My friend, from the very first day you were born, you were cut off from the one who originally planted you. You were severed from the roots, and you now hang gasping for that which was originally your daily food and your daily drink. And so no longer is it a wonder to anybody that that which the world would feed us with will leave us thirsty, will leave our hearts to cry out, O God, thou art my God, I will seek you. But I ask you, friend, tonight, have you found him? Or are you still trying to fill up your worldly glass with the earthly pleasures and seek to go on slaking that unending thirst in order to reach that level of satisfaction? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You are not only ruining your years of your youth, you are not only ruining the lives and the hearts and the love and the care and the attention of blessed ones that you have around you. You need, as it were, to be rerooted, regrounded in the truth and the bond and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He seeks to place you back in his garden. Some of you may know that lovely few verses in Song of Solomon and chapter 5, I believe it is, where it says there that that beloved one, he plants a garden. And in it he plants into it all sorts of beautiful shrubs and bushes and plants and flowering plants, in order that from them he might have fruit, in order that from them he might have a scent. My friend, tonight God wants to take you out of your wilderness experience. He wants to take you out of a dry and a thirsty land journey. And as it were, he wants to plant you into his secret garden. A garden that has got a wall around it, that is protected, where he himself is the gardener, and he will make sure that you're examined daily, that you will be watered when dry. Is this the sort of sheltered life that you will prefer? But I want to tell you first of all, my friend, that in order for you to get there, you've already found out the Lord Jesus Christ himself had a thirst. He already came as a dry and a tender plant, and he grew up in a wilderness experience. And tonight he knows what you're going through as you're trying to find satisfaction in the world. But he was ever fed, he was ever ministered to whilst he was down here. He was never subjected and took part of sin as you and I have done. And yet nevertheless, in this cross work that he accomplished for you and I, he did thirst. He cried out for satisfaction and the slaking of his thirst. My friend, on that terrible night, his heavenly Father ceased to be with him there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Came that tremendous cry. When everything had been finished, when the great plan of salvation was concluded, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And scripture tonight, my dear friend, again is being fulfilled here tonight. That the Saviour is willing to give drink and water of a spiritual nature to thirsty souls. It was on that cross and that they came to him on those two occasions and they desired that he would take a drink. And that drink was vinegar mingled with gall, wasn't it? And it had a similar stupefying effect as do the drugs of today when abused, of alcohol and of material things and whatever the devil, nicotine, might give to you to annul your senses and keep your eyes away from the cross of Christ. Don't let it have that satisfaction, for the Lord wouldn't. He would rather go and thirst in order to accomplish the will of his Holy Father, that you and I might be able to partake of that living water which he now imparts because he went thirsty. There is no need then for us to go thirsty, for he has thirsted on our behalf. He has drunk the bitter cup that his Father gave him. And just prior to the crucifixion in that garden, he knelt down there and before his heavenly Father, he said, "Father, is it possible that this cup can pass from me?" And it was not, thank God. And so he took it. And now, my dear friend, for you and I, there flows a cup of blessed water. It overflows and is waiting to overflow your life as well after you have been satisfied, in order that it might bless others as well and bring them the satisfaction that it will bring you to. Let us move on. Examine me daily. Dare we? When we look into the light of Holy Scripture, and let me clarify first of all the sort of inspection that I'm talking about. It's not the inspection of the physical. And boy, can't that take some time these days. My life is under some of these pharmacies and drugstores, and the enormity of the amount of money that is put into cosmetics to try and make beautiful that which God has created. But that has fallen in sin and has marred, and we seek to restore to our own satisfaction and what we think others will find attractive with cosmetics and things that ultimately mar our complexion. It's an outward masquerade. It is an outward witness of saying, really, I know that I'm not as beautiful as I could be, and I'm not content in letting God do it, so I'm going to have her go myself. At the end of the day, it all has to come off, doesn't it? Further time wasted. Further energies wasted. My friend, vanity is very vain. But God, he looks upon the inward side. He looks on that which is of a spiritual nature. And praise God, through his Holy Spirit, he doesn't only look, but he puts his finger. And his finger pricks and his finger hurts as it touches the conscience. As it makes us aware that he is not only looking at us, but he's looking at our inward side. And there we find, don't we, in 139, that psalm there, the psalmist invites God to have a little look inside. And he said, "Lord," he says, "have a look inside. See if there's any wicked way in me." Dare you do that? Dare I do that? Whether we belong to the Saviour tonight, whether we belong to the Saviour a few months, a few years, or many years, do we still dare do that tonight? Or is there in our heart unconfessed sin that we need to bow down and confess to our Saviour? Say, "Lord, I've been looking inside, for I didn't dare want you to have a look. And I know there's that problem there. And my pride won't let me give in and admit to it and get rid of it in order that I may have a peaceful mind." My friend, tonight, humble yourself before God and tell him all about it and say, "Lord, search it out from me and take it away, that I might be free again to worship with a free heart. Give yourself the pleasure of it. Give others the joy of seeing what has obviously happened in your life, that they might glorify God, that to God might set the joy bells of heaven going, that the angels may worship with us as we praise God too, for a sinner who has come to Christ and has been washed clean by the water of his word and the work of his Holy Spirit, as it prompts inside and examines us and tells us what is wrong with us. Praise God for a conscience. Is yours working tonight? Is mine working tonight? Let us get these things done this evening. Then, of course, there is that vine dresser, and we glimpsed at him this morning. The farmer of the vineyard who will go around and he will prune his vine, won't he? He will pluck off some of the excess green foliage as he inspects his vine and the branches of it. He will debud that luxurious cluster of grapes from those that aren't going to be productive, in order that the power of the juice that is coming through the actual veins of the branch might flow into the better grapes and swell them and give more fruit. He will actually prune away those dead bits of wood in our life, won't he, in order that again the sap might flow through more freely to the better timber of the branch, finally through to those leaves and to the choice grape. My friend, are you going to allow him to do that tonight? We who are his know in all of our lives there's areas that aren't fully surrendered, that are at the moment are like dead wood. Areas that there is a mass of green foliage that really is overshadowing the fruit that truly is there but is prohibited in coming forth, because the sun can't get right through and penetrate it. Is there too much foliage in your life? Also, for us who are in the flower of our life and haven't really started to show fruit, isn't it time that we started? Isn't it time also that not only fruit, but also that there should be some flower that gives off a scent, that rises up and is like a blessed flavour in the nostrils of our blessed Lord? Many of you know I have a dear and loving mother-in-law. I love to watch her go down her garden. It's an education. She who is the gardener and the sole gardener of that garden. She knows every plant. She's dealt with it. She's pulled off the rotten leaf, the decaying bud. She's watered that weak one. And she goes down, she'll rub her hands on the leaves of the scented leaves, and she'll lift them to her nose, and a satisfaction you can read in her face. She'll take a bloom and she'll again lift it to her nose, or she'll bend down to the flower. Isn't it glorious, she'll say. And you can really feel that she's there with it. That's the communion that the gardener wants with you and I. A total relationship and appreciation. In order that the travail of his soul, the thirst that he experienced on Calvary's cross, might be so fully worth it to him and for his glory. Finally, water me when dry. John 7 verse 38 tells us of a quenching that can be quenched. That there is a continued watering available to each one of us. John 6 and verse 35 was telling us that there is never needing another situation whereby we will ever thirst again. There was, wasn't there, that woman who sat by a well. And there was a Saviour who came and sat by that well with that woman. And it was because of her sin and her conscience of the sinful life that she was living and leading that she chose at that heat of the day to come to that well. But bless the Saviour, he took that need of that woman in the heat of the day and he wandered out to the well and he offered her water that wasn't in that well, that wasn't in that system, that wasn't in that environment, but was encased in his own body. And it was that he sought to give her to initially satisfy her spiritual need and then to go on daily till eternity arrives again. Is this something that we know and experience? Or is this something that we're still yearning for? Tonight then we come and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, quench my thirst. Forgive me of my sin. As I acknowledge you as the Lord Jesus Christ sent from heaven, cut as it were in the prime and the full blossom of his life, when his life was of a glory and a satisfaction to his heavenly Father, so much so that it is recorded on those two occasions, this is my beloved, hear ye him. Are you hearing him tonight, offering you this glass of water? And then onward is that promise that you will never thirst again because he will see to it that once your thirst being quenched, each day he will give you spiritual water to drink. You say, how will he do that? I tell you, it's easy. It's the written word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 says that he will sanctify. He will make and keep us holy and he will cleanse us by the washing of his word. And it doesn't matter what situation we are in, if we will continually apply ourselves to this word of God, we will not become dry. We will not become thirsty. We will find our satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. So my friend, what is it for you tonight? Is it going to be the drink of the Lord from his cup? Or is it going to be that endless running around in a dry and a thirsty land? And if we come to that precious cup that the Lord would offer us tonight, do you know then too that you can also give a cup of water to others and bless them? But in fact, as it was in that very first miracle that our beloved Lord did, he changed that cup of water into wine. And that cup of wine was a cup of joy to so many at that marriage feast, wasn't it? We need faith as we walk, don't we? As it was said of Mary to the servants, you listen to what he says and you go and do it. There's something in listening to a word tonight, but there's something else in having to go and do it, isn't there? And the Lord has bidden us not only to partake of this water that flows, but also to offer it, those of us who have taken it, to others also. That we, as we pour out ourselves and give ourselves to others as that cup of water is, that he might have that joyous privilege of turning it into eternal wine and the joy that that is to some precious soul who is still yet thirsty and in a dry land. The pleasures and joys that await those who seek to give themselves to Christ, that are already Christ's, but lack the initiative because their minds are preoccupied. Preoccupied with money, with business, with commerce, and all these other things that are of such a temporal nature and are withering away. Oh, my heart goes out to such
that seem untouched by such privileges of working for one who thirsts for me. Oh my God, help us then this evening as we think, as in future days we drink of normal drink, of the drink that He is willing to give us, the drink that He is willing to give others, and the vessel that He wants to use us in order to conduct that drink into the lives of other perishing souls. For His name's sake. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we do bless You that He left heaven, that He humbled Himself, that He accepted the cup from Thy hand and refused the cup that man would seek to give. And now, our Father, we can accept that drink of an eternal love, that we can come daily and have our thirst quenched, that we can have that tremendous privilege of extending a cup of water to those who thirst and are dying of eternal thirst. Be pleased then, our Father, to move our hearts towards that everlasting fountain, to drink and to continue to drink therefrom at that fountainhead forevermore, till that blessed face we see when united with loved ones we shall never part again from, and bow the knee and humbly worship and glorify His lovely name. Amen.